Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem announces the Trump administration is suspending the visa lottery program. The move comes after authorities discover the Brown University suspect got a green card under that program.
So the president has just ended a highly controversial diversity immigration program due to recent events at Brown and MIT that only transpired because the alleged culprit slipped through the cracks and was able to gain permanent American residency through a system that's supposed to vet 20 million diversity applicants on a yearly basis, something the Trump administration says is 100% impossible.
The Ivy League campus and parts of the Rhode Island capital of Providence were left under lockdown as a desperate manhunt was underway.
But you know, this is unfortunately not going to be the end, because now you got to do all the investigation, and one of the things you really want to make sure of is that he is the only person you have to worry about.
The Trump administration is pausing the diversity visa lottery program, which it claims allowed the suspect to come to the U.S. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem announced that move on social media. She says she's directing U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services to pause the program to, quote, ensure no more Americans are harmed.
And that's one of the problems with this program is you can't properly vet people. And also, it's just a lottery program, so we're not bringing in the people that will benefit us the most. It's a big sea change for the Biden administration. I wouldn't say immigration policy, more like immigration scheme or migration scheme that was only designed to benefit the Democratic Party and also the illegal immigrants. So 50,000 people a year, I think it's overall a good thing to really just scrap this program.
So as the president further secures America's border, some are ludicrously blaming him for recent events. And what nobody's talking about is this is now being used by America's enemies to attack the president and our way of life, while their open borders agenda takes another hit, with another failed program that doesn't improve our country ending as proponents say it should. But while troubled politicians are hoping this serves as an adequate distraction from their behavior, critics say the president just wants to use recent events as a pretext for discrimination. Meanwhile, normal people watching this dealing with an affordability crisis are wondering why the United States gives out 50,000 green cards a year under this system alone, while wondering how on earth the U.S. government is supposed to find the resources to vet 20 million applicants while securing our southern and northern borders, which are still under threat from the bad guys every single day, while tracking down dangerous individuals already inside America, and while normal immigration processes are supposed to vet and issue around 1 million green cards. And all of this brings us to the real reason this program is now ending. Proponents of ending it say it's impossible to secure, and they also say that the entire U.S. immigration system doesn't just put Americans' safety at risk, but also puts the American dream at risk, because with high levels of normal, legal immigration, at a minimum, the American working class, as well as legal immigrants, find themselves under pressure from a system that helps companies pay workers less, as there are only so many available jobs, while these same folks are harmed by artificially induced housing shortages that span coast to coast. But how exactly does this diversity program work? Why is it so controversial? And why do some people still want to keep it?
President Trump's crackdown on immigration has a new target, the Diversity Visa Lottery. Created back in 1990, the Diversity Visa program allows some people overseas to come here legally to get a green card and legal permanent residency in the U.S. if they come from countries that have low levels of legal immigration to the U.S. Many of those countries are in Africa, for example, and there are 55,000 spots available under this initiative every single year. President Trump has long railed against it, saying that legal immigration to the U.S. should be based on merit.
So it sounds like an unlimited number of people can apply for this lottery system, and the program is capped at giving out around 50,000 green cards per year. The president says it's a total mess, and it kind of is when you think about the core concept here, because who is supposed to benefit from America's immigration system? Random individuals from all across the world, or American citizens and legal immigrants? On top of that, there's an argument that if this program were based on merit, and not random chance, and required winners to prove they could support themselves with an economically viable skill or the ability to run a business and create jobs, the country as a whole would have a system that better serves its current and future legal population. But there's more.
Fast forward to this week when the suspect was identified as a Portuguese national who had been given a diversity visa back in 2017 under the first Trump administration. After that revelation, the Department of Homeland Security said that it would pause all green card cases in the diversity visa category.
So the concerning thing about this program is it's a diversity program and its only goal is accomplishing diversity. And it sounds like the Brown MIT suspect was a former Brown University student from 25 years ago who used this diversity lottery to re-enter our country and gain permanent residency in 2017. The suspect allegedly had a personal grudge against the late MIT professor who he attended the same university with back in Portugal in the 90s, which suggests this program inadvertently imported a decades-old grudge, which calls into question the vetting behind such a program that was unable to stop a dangerous individual from coming into our country and directly put at risk a legal immigrant who was working here as a professor.
Now, this means that the program has been effectively shut down for the time being. And this is the latest effort by the Trump administration to further escalate its crackdown on immigration.
But if a program is not able to keep the people in the country it's designed to serve safe, why is it open? This is apparently a question the Trump administration was asking in the president's first term when he tried to end this same lottery system. And remember, 20 million people applied for this in the last year. And allegedly, the vetting process isn't what it is for normal legal immigrants. Yes, applicants must prove self-sufficiency, but they don't need a sponsor who is required to conceivably help them if they fall on hard times. And that self-sufficiency proof requires submitting job offers, but the applicant doesn't need to have accepted a position. And you know what? Calling this program a lottery is the perfect name for it because it's a total gamble. The applicants, 20 million people, they have no idea if they're going to win. And it sounds like the U.S. government has no idea how successful those individuals will be once they even get here. So nobody really knows what's going on.
What helps Americans? Is every immigrant either helping us or hurting us? And is our national security and public safety at a risk?
This is what other countries do.
We don't bring them in. And that's one of the problems with this program is you can't properly vet people. And also, it's just a lottery program. So we're not bringing in the people that will benefit us the most. It's a big sea change for the Biden administration. I wouldn't say immigration policy, more like immigration scheme or migration scheme that was only designed to benefit the Democratic Party and also the illegal immigrants. So 50,000 people a year, I think it's overall a good thing to really just scrap this program. But it is 50,000 people a year that we know are not coming in unvetted to our country or find out better ways to at least vet them.
Yeah. So we learned over the last 4 years that vetting is something that is nearly impossible. We learned this due to the southern border being wide open where vetting couldn't really happen. There were many folks that entered the United States and gave whatever information they had orally to the Border Patrol and individuals on the ground there trying to keep the country safe. And they had to be taken at their word because they had no other documentation. The countries that they are from do not necessarily have great records. And in some cases, don't even share their records with the United States or just aren't able to. But the other scary thing about this is that we now know that the Brown University suspect was in the United States previously and was given one of these diversity visas, which means there was an opportunity to interact with people who knew this person, to interview them, and to actually do vetting on this individual, which never happened. They knew where he went to college. They could have interviewed the late professor who he had a grudge against because they had a history together, but that never happened. But you've got 20 million people who apply for this program, and yes, computers eliminate everybody who doesn't win, but even to get a group of 50,000 people who qualify for a lottery, you've got to start with around 200,000 people, and then you've got to vet all those people and decide who the winners are going to end up being. We've got to do that while working under the confines of whatever records we're able to obtain from places where folks might be from. And like the host says here, it's not really possible to do a thorough job on every single person. And apparently when it is possible, it doesn't happen because there's not enough time.
Look forward too to what the administration's doing. They've announced that they're going to try to strip more foreign-born Americans who have naturalized citizenship of that citizenship. How difficult is it to prove that someone fraudulently obtained American citizenship?
Well, I think it depends on the circumstances. It can be difficult, but one of the things that's interesting, in the code it says the U.S. attorney shall institute proceedings when there is evidence of fraud. So this isn't something that is an elective. It's something they're required to do, and just because the Biden administration wasn't doing it. But if you look for fraud in an application, if people lied and they're provable lies and those lies were material, they should lose their citizenship. Citizenship shouldn't be cheap, and it should be earned honestly. And if people aren't doing so, it should be stripped.
Okay, that's 100% true. And what some people are saying is that this diversity lottery allowed a dangerous individual, and has allowed more than one dangerous individual, by the way, over the last few years, to get into the United States who shouldn't have come in. And although the United States has an obligation to stop this type of fraud, as we're learning about fraud in places like Minnesota, it is a lot harder to stop it after the fraud has taken place and the money's disappeared. There have been all kinds of schemes and things that have taken place. It's a lot harder to stop fraud after the fact than beforehand. So if you've got a program that can't do its job, that just rigs the deck against law enforcement later, because the program apparently isn't able, just like many immigration programs, to determine which folks have positive aspirations that benefit the country and themselves at the exact same time. Now, does this mean every diversity visa winner is a bad individual? Of course not. There's many great people out there who just don't live in America yet. But this brings us back to the idea that a country's immigration policy isn't about trying to find out who's a great person or not and doesn't live here, but it instead should exist to serve the people in the country that pay taxes to have the system in the first place.
That's going to be an excuse the administration is going to use to throw all sorts of people out of the country.
Yeah, I really don't think so. I think that would be too cumbersome. I think they wouldn't actually be successful, because they still have to go through a court system as well. So it has to be a material false statement. So if somebody had a letter or you know, didn't have a proper, you know, had a miss, a typo or something, that's not what they're going after. They're going after people that lied, got a benefit from lying, and probably people that are also security threats as well.
Mm-hmm. And look, so this is what critics are saying. They're saying that every time the Trump administration shuts down some sort of immigration program, that, oh, this is discrimination, this is the president being a terrible person, this is him enacting some sort of fascist agenda. That's what they always say. But as we just heard, anybody who gets denaturalized, who may have lied or used a program like this as some sort of a backdoor, it's going to have to go through a court system. There's no way to prosecute and go after every single person that's been through a program like this. You're going to have to go after the worst first, which is what the whole idea behind the president's immigration policy is right now. Going after people who are here to commit criminal activity, might be dangerous, slip through the cracks, and then closing all of the cracks, of which apparently this program is one of. But it's also important to consider, why was this program even created? I mean, here we have a program, and its only goal is to accomplish diversity. Why do we have such a program? And has the U.S. immigration system always worked this way?
So during the civil rights era, and this is the simplest way I can put it, there was a thought in effect, if you go back and you can read the transcripts of the debate at the time, of applying civil rights to immigration policy for the globe, and to create a civil right for people from every part of the world to come to America in ever-growing numbers. And so a system that for years, as you mentioned, had been tightly restricted, suddenly established this global ability of people in every part of the world to come to America, to bring their families to America, and then eventually empty out their entire towns and their entire villages to the United States of America. And so what you saw between 1965 and today was the single largest experiment on a society, on a civilization that had ever been conducted in human history. Not just the 76 million.
This is wild, and this is something that most of us have probably never thought of. I wasn't alive when things changed, so I don't remember a time before any of this was law. All I know is we've got a system and this is how it's worked for my entire life. And apparently this diversity visa lottery system is an offshoot of what Stephen Miller just described, a program designed to increase non-merit-based immigration, which is something we're hearing a lot about now. We're hearing about how the country should pursue merit-based immigration and restrict most immigration from the people who are in charge. Also, there are other arguments to merit-based immigration that are now just being talked about for the first time in decades.
There are people all over the world that are great people, but you look at the society. If Libya keeps failing, if the Central African Republic keeps failing, if Somalia keeps failing, right? If these societies all over the world continue to fail, you have to ask yourself, if you bring those societies into our country and then give them unlimited free welfare, what do we think is going to happen? You're going to replicate the conditions that they left.
So this is the argument that the Trump administration is now putting forth about merit-based systems. Now, does this mean that people who do not live in America and might be from a country that has problems have no merit? No, it doesn't. Absolutely not. But if we want to help people who don't live here yet, there are other ways to do it. And there are ways that might actually help their home countries be successful. This can be done through foreign aid. This can be done through helping a nation secure itself if they are facing many different types of conflicts and they don't have a stable government. I'm not saying the United States should go out and do that, but when we look at the cost of domestic immigration programs that might not have the best interest of people who already live here, you've got to wonder, especially when you look at a system like the New York City response to the asylum crisis. New York City was spending $10,000 a month per person to help people live in tents. And when you look at those massive tents that were set up on soccer fields that now kids and local residents could no longer use, you've got to wonder, 10 grand a month, which was just being given out to nonprofits to house people in America temporarily, it could have given 25% of that money to somebody who was struggling in their home country and they would have been much better off. You know, there are ways to do things and help people that are not as expensive as a sort of system that we've had over the last 4 years, which didn't work out the way the proponents of this system told us it would. But also, this idea of merit-based immigration, that is an idea that is actually negative for the host country. Because let's say that the U.S. goes full merit-based immigration. We say, hey, anybody who's smart, anybody who's doing well can just come here from wherever it is they live. Any doctor, any lawyer, any engineer, that's going to drain talent from the rest of the world. Now, let's just say we open up a system like that. Every doctor in Canada is going to immediately come to the United States where they can earn more money. But now there's no doctors in Canada. And now they've got a doctor shortage. Yes, the United States doesn't, but now Canada's worse off. So brain drain isn't a good thing either. That hurts countries. That hurts those local economies. And if you really want to have a more prosperous world in general, there need to be policies that help folks in their home country, help them rebuild their home country. We see a lot of this with earthquake-related aid in places like Haiti, where there is a genuine effort to assist people in rebuilding their nation. And if people empty out the country where they lived, what does that do to the folks who stayed, right? We can't have lottery systems or merit-based systems that are anything other than a zero-sum game. The country that has the merit-based system wins over the country that people are leaving. And if you have a lottery system, there are moments where the country that institutes such a system is not necessarily the beneficiary of that program. But what about the other arguments proponents of an open border or more immigration tell us?
So we had large-scale immigration from Europe from 1880 to 1920. So in other words, we went from a country that had immigration from part of Europe to immigration from many other parts of Europe. But even other European countries pose enormous stresses on the U.S. system, both economically and in terms of security. There's a lot of crime, a lot of threats to public safety and order, and those were addressed with very strict new immigration quotas. What they don't teach you in school is that from 1920 to 1970, there was negative migration. There was a half century of negative migration. The foreign-born population declined by 40% for half a century. During that same time period, Will, the U.S. population doubled from natural childbirth.
What do we always hear about immigration in America? The people that want an open border, they always love to tell us, well, since Americans and legal residents don't have the birth rates that they need to grow the economy, we have to have an open border. You see, if you don't like the idea of an open border, realize that it's your fault. That's what we always hear. Politicians that support open borders in one way or another say this constantly, but we just heard that this has not always been the case peace in America and that when our immigration systems have been restricted, there have been higher levels of domestic births. But the thinking over the last 30 years or so has been that we need an open border and we need as much immigration as possible and as much diversity as possible. And we get this thinking from politicians who are aligned with interests which benefit from more immigration, not less. We're talking about companies that want to have more workers to choose from. We're talking about colleges that receive applicants from all across the world and can make more money. Landlords who want to charge higher rents. And the fascinating thing to me is the number one tool most Americans and legal residents have to go out and earn a living and provide for themselves is the demand for their skill set. And you disenfranchise the demand for their skill set once you make these individuals compete for jobs in a workforce with folks who are not supposed to be in the country or who may have come into the country through fraudulent means or may have gotten a back door, so to speak, which is what some people are calling this lottery system. All of that together hurts folks who came in and did things the right way, makes their lives less affordable. It's very sad, especially in the case of illegal immigration. And if you shrink the U.S. labor force, everyone here legally gets a pay raise. And you don't have to do this by mandating higher wages at all. You can do it by keeping America safe and having a restrictive system that actually does that and actually does vetting. Once again, we are brought to the conclusion that law enforcement is the answer to America's unaffordability crisis. But what do you think about this diversity program? Was it a good idea? Should it be reopened? Is canceling it the right move? I'll see you in the next